Scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Matthew 18, 15 through 20. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about everything they ask, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them.
Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
It's good to see you all once again. I wasn't able to be here last Wednesday because of my ongoing back problems. It's good to see you all, though. And as well, now my wife has a stomach bug, so things are fun over at our house. Not really. But I hope that you're all doing well and that looking forward to a great week and that you had a good one last week and a good night's rest last night. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the topic of forgiveness. The topic of forgiveness. That was two Sundays ago. And something I told you that we'd pair it with later on would be offenses. So we talked about, of course, that we should forgive one another endlessly. But now let's talk about specifically the process that Jesus taught with how to maybe deal with a offense problem between two brethren, or maybe even between two groups of brethren. So how to deal with offenses in the Christian way. So we can talk about how to deal with offenses in the world's way, but we're not talking about that today. We're talking about in God's way. Of course, all things we do as the Christian should be in God's way. But let's always keep this in mind, how to deal with offenses from one brother or sister in Christ to another. This topic is best dealt with in Matthew 18, 15 through 20. Of course, there are many other sections of the Bible that deal with such a thing. But the best is, of course, Matthew 18, because we have Jesus' exact process of how he wants us to deal with such a thing. When we think about topics like forgiveness, though, a necessary trait of the true Christian, it is important to think about how maybe it connects with the topic of how to deal with offenses, because certainly one cannot forgive unless something was first done in the beginning, maybe to offend someone or maybe to cause a problem between two people or two groups of people. So forgiveness isn't even a thing that usually would happen unless some kind of problem arose first. So forgiveness, and then how is it connecting with how to deal with offenses? So no doubt an offense being done by one person towards another is logically what paves the road to one either forgiving or not forgiving someone. But with all of that said today, we'll discuss how God wants us to deal with such a thing. God does know the truth in our hearts, so a few things to keep in mind as we get into this lesson. Whether we're truly offended or not. Now, the reason I disclaim that and clarify that is because some brethren, and I'm, you know, maybe not thinking of anyone specific, but we can might be able to think about some brethren in our life who may use maybe being offended, and maybe people in the world who might use being offended as a tool maybe to get other people to submit to them, or maybe to get the church or a group of people to submit to them. Certainly in our court system, using the simple claim of being offended is one of the most powerful claims that you can use in this day and time. You know, being offended. You know, I'm offended. I'm offended by what you said. I'm offended by what you did. For whatever reason, whether it's, you know, politics or whatever it is, it's a great claim in a courtroom. But how should it be also in the church whenever we say I'm offended? Well, in the church, it should be truthful. If you're actually offended about something, if you're actually having a problem with a brother or sister in Christ, you should be truthful about that in your heart. If you're the offended or if you're the offender, everything should be truthful. Everything should be, you know, there should be no lies involved. There should be no fakeness involved. No any type of, you know, deceiving or anything like that. So just a clarification before we get into this. Being offended is not a scapegoat card, as we might want to call it. It's not a game, you know, for the offender or for the offended. But what is God's instructed way to deal with this? We're going to start with, of course, this by piece, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, if you'd read that again with me. There are three steps that we have to take in this process, and something to keep in mind is the order of how Jesus says to do it. We shouldn't start step three after, you know, first. We should start step one first in verse 15, and then continue on verses 16 and 17 with the next two steps afterwards if it does not work. Verse 15, Matthew chapter 18 once again. Read it with me. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. So, the offended, once again, the person who is offended, must go and tell the fault directly and privately, perhaps, to the offender. So the offended must go and tell the fault directly and privately to the offender. Now, this is obviously the most easy step, you know, before the three, or before the other two, rather. The most easy step. Of course, if it works here, great, wonderful. If it doesn't, then you proceed to steps in verses 16 and 17, the next two steps that must be taken. Now, this is a contextual order that Jesus is actually implying and meaning. So once again, I say again, one has to follow verse 15 and then continue on after that. Once again, it's an if-then statement. So what Jesus means by that, like in verse 16, but if he will not hear, then take with you one or two more. But if he will not hear, then. So it's an if-then statement. We don't start with step three and then do step two and then do step... No, it's 1, 2, 3. So verses 15, 16, 17 is how we'll deal with that in the contextual proper order that Jesus intended. Now, this is a step order to keep in mind, so I would write that down next to, of course, that place in your Bible. It is a step order. But to be able to go and say your brother or sister in Christ has offended you, this is something that is almost actually honorable. It's something that's good. It shows unity. If we're rather keeping problems built up in our mind constantly, and we're rather, you know, choosing to be offended and hold grudges constantly and never deal with any problems that we have with a brother or sister in Christ, that doesn't do good for the body of Christ at all. That doesn't do good for the church at all. To continue to hold something in like that is only going to lead to the doom of the church. You have to get that out with your brother or your sister who has offended you, or if you're the offended, or, you know, or the offenser, or whoever it is. You have to deal with problems. You cannot let it just be constantly building up inside of you and then explode at some point and cause division. This is a serious problem that can arise, brethren, and we need to be aware of it. So, Jesus put in His divine word, you know, as the Father's divine word, Jesus taught us, there is an intended way that God wants us to deal with offenses. And you'll find it here in this section that we're in. And it's important for us to constantly remain unified because of this. So not to hold secrets, not to try to deceive one another ever, not to be gossiping about one another, not to be going behind other people's backs and backstabbing other people, you know, in the congregation, in the church, in the Lord's church. Shouldn't be doing that. We have to remain unified. If we're not remaining unified, if we're going behind people's backs, if we're backstabbing people, if we're gossiping about people, if we're holding things in about people, you know, whatever it is, for partial reasons or whatever, that's going to cause a huge problem later on. It's better to deal with it now and just get it over with, you know, whether it just takes saying you're sorry or whatever it is, brethren, go and deal with the offense. Go and deal with the problem. You cannot let that just sit under a rug because it will eventually come out from under it. We have to deal with those offenses. Certainly, and deal with this process as Jesus taught it. Why is that important, brethren? Why is it important that we deal with offenses? The same way that we might think about dealing with offenses with a family member, that is physical family, with a parent, with a son, with the children, with a grandparent, with your siblings, with your brother or your sister, however old you are. The same way we might think about that, it's incredibly important, especially more so, with the family of God. Why? Because it's the family of God. Because we're all going to be going to heaven together. We can't be holding things in and holding maybe hatred within ourselves and holding all these different types of things that might keep us from being unified, because that's not unity. That's not unity in mind and in body. That's not unity in spirit. That's division against one another in mind, which will eventually probably outburst. So, brethren, this is an important thing that we need to always keep in mind. If a brother or sister is offended against us, or if we're offended against somebody else, We have got to deal with it. We've got to not hide it within us. We have to deal with it. We are family. We are family. And no matter how much we might try to, you know, maybe try to stay away from each other, mind our own business, that's totally fine. But we're still family. That doesn't mean that we can just, you know, act like we don't even know each other. Brethren, a sad thing of the church today, and this is different with other congregations, and, you know, maybe not so much this congregation, but other congregations, is that they all treat each other like acquaintances. Maybe that's the case with this one, maybe it's not, but everybody treats each other like acquaintances. We don't treat each other like family. Now, in this congregation, I've seen a lot of family aspects. I've seen that people treat each other very closely. Everybody loves to talk to each other. People usually stick around after services. But that's very, very important, that we talk to each other, that we be respectful of each other, that we be loving towards one another, and consider one another in our thoughts and how we feel about things. That's very, very important. If we don't do that, once again, that can cause division in the future. If there's secrets, if there's things building up within you, got to deal with it. You've got to deal with it. Don't remain bitter towards one another. Don't remain grudging towards one another. Deal with the problems that are inside of your mind if they are there. We have to deal with offenses. We cannot let them build up, brethren. A small problem can easily become a huge problem if you let it build up over years and years and years. And once again, the offender might not, you know, do what he needs to do as we go through this process, but that's on them. Still, you've got to deal with it. You've got to deal with problems that happen with the brotherhood. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Something neat about this first chapter of Corinthians is that Paul is almost making this same exact appeal to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. One in verse 10 says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So, of course, you go in verse 11, what does it say? "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." So there's problems going on in the Corinthian Church of Christ in this day and time. Well, are there problems going on in this congregation? Are there problems going on in this congregation over here, or this one over here? Between this family, or between these two brothers, or these two brother or sister in Christ, whoever it is, these two sisters, if there's an issue, we've got to deal with it. We have to be united in mind, in spirit, and all these different things as the body of Christ. Because truly, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are united. They are not partial in any single way from one another. They are united, and therefore, God's children must be united. We have to be united. The body of Christ doesn't get, buts on that. Have to be united. So let us live in harmony with one another and endure with one another. Another text that I might direct our minds to is Romans 15. Romans 15, if you'd turn there with me, in verses 1 through 5. Romans 15, chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. "We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Verse 3, "For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus." Like-mindedness, unity in mind, togetherness in mind. All of these things are against us, of course, holding things in, holding secrets against one another, having problems with one another. And brethren, I might go ahead and say that is the answer to a problem or an offense with a brother just to get up and leave the congregation right off the bat? No, it's not the answer. The answer to dealing with an offense with a brother or sister in Christ is to deal with it. If there's forgiveness involved, let it go. It's gone. As God has forgiven you, so forgive others. As God has forgiven me, I have to so forgive others. Brethren, we need to keep this in mind when we're talking about offenses. The first step is not to just get up and leave the congregation and go to this one over here. You know, get up and go to Green Forest. Get up and go to, you know, whatever congregation's over in Eureka Springs. That's not the answer. That's not the answer at all. go through this text here, Matthew 18, do exactly what was instructed, verses 15 through 17. If you have gained your brother, amen. So be it. That's amazing. If you have not, if there's still a problem, even after verse 17, you've told the church, okay, then it's on the offender. Then it's on them. But deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with the issue. Deal with the offense. Deal with the problem. Don't just let it sit there for years and years. And then it explode and cause division in the church because, brethren, it happens. It happens all the time, really. Leviticus 19 in verse 18 is another reference that we might be able to look at on bearing grudges, on holding grudges. Leviticus 19 and verse 18. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 says, and put this down as a reference if you would. 19, verse 18, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you rather shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So not bear any grudge against the children of your people. So if a problem is settled, then it is settled. Don't go back and try to bear a grudge or do it in your mind or do it out in the open, rather, or anyway. Don't do it in any way. Don't bear grudges. If an offense problem is settled, then leave it settled. Certainly it is in the past. It is finished. It is gone. Leave it gone. So other things we can think about, of course, as we mentioned earlier, consider how God forgives you. And also extend that to others, as we're to example and embody the attitudes and the behaviors of Christ and of godliness, that is, of God, then we're to also show that in forgiveness. We're to also show that in dealing with offenses with a brother or a sister in Christ. Consider how God forgives you. Extend that also to others. And then another thing to consider is if you are the offender, be humble about it. If somebody says they're offended, they're genuine, they're truthful about it, be humble about it. Just say you're sorry. Be truthful about that as well. Show love to your brother. Be considerate of one another. You know, be joined in the same mind. You know, maybe you don't agree perfectly on something. Maybe you don't agree that they're offended. Just be humble about it and say, brother, sister, I'm sorry. I'll do my best to make sure it doesn't happen again. Be your best. You know, be your best to be like Christ. Be humble, be meek about it, be lowly about it. That's what Jesus wants of us. Don't just get up and say, well, I'm leaving this congregation right now. Don't just get up and just leave. That's not how we settle offenses. It's not how the body of Christ settles offenses. It's just not. All right, Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verses 14 through 23. Let's read that together. Romans 14, 14 through 23. We'll read this quickly. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, verse 16, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is neither good, or it is good neither, to eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats. But he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. So a whole text talking about offenses, a whole text talking about being considerate of your brother. Maybe your brother in Christ doesn't know that all things are clean now. You know, back then, talking about the clean and the unclean, talking about things in Judaism, back in Old Testament law, you know, maybe a brother was dealing with those things. You know, maybe he was formerly a Jew in the Jewish faith. You know, he's dealing with those things. He's trying to understand, but right now he can't. He can't understand the difference. He can't understand how that works. So maybe don't shove that in his face right now. Maybe don't, you know, do that even knowingly that he's maybe going to be offended by it. And then maybe it might lead to the losing of his soul. He might leave the faith entirely because of how you treated him. So that's what this text is talking about here. Not to maybe deliberately even cause offenses, or maybe undeliberately. If you do so, just ask for forgiveness. And certainly they should forgive you as well. This is how we deal with those offenses. Even if it is a Christian, newer or older, that doesn't know better. Even older Christians can sometimes not know better on a topic. They can, you know, believe in something for years and years. They don't know better, and you know, they'll just follow it to, you know, they will never move on it. They'll never ever move, but you might be offending them by maybe shoving it in their face. Don't do so. Let them, you know, maybe be taught in time on their own and together with the church. Don't just immediately shove that in their face and let them be offended by that and cause an issue or a problem. That would cause division or the loss or the losing of people's souls. The thing to remember whenever we're talking about offenses, brethren, is that we are dealing with people's souls. So as Christ loved you and gave himself for us, we should also be willing to do the same for our brethren. Love them, be considerate of them and of their thoughts, of their minds, because God is considerate of yours and of ours. As Paul said here, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of fill in the blank. You know, whatever else it is. That's Romans 14 and verse 20. Now, we talked about that first step in Matthew 18. That first step in Matthew 18, of course, which was to go and tell the fault between you and that brother or that sister in Christ alone. Matthew 18, verse 15. But, verse 16, if he will not hear, take with you one or two more that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So this is what to do if step one does not work. So take with you one or two more. Keep in mind you only proceeded this step, verse 16, and then maybe three, verse 17, if step number one does not work. This is, of course, the wisdom of God showing in this dispute here. This is how we ought to settle things. This is the best way to settle things with a brother in Christ. Go to them directly, maybe privately. Do it just only with them. Only talk to them. I'm offended by what you did, brother. I want to talk about this. And, you know, something you did offended me. Something you did upset me. Can we please talk about this? And do it in private. I'm offended by what you did, sister. You know, whatever it is, whatever situation it is, talk to them in private. If it doesn't work, then take one, you know, two or three more. Then take two or three more witnesses. So, of course, it's the wisdom of God in helping a dispute be settled between two brethren. It's kind of like a mediation type technique, a mediator type technique. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So thinking about what he's saying, what she's saying, what he's saying, what he's saying, you know, whatever it is, and talking about all the words that are being said, the situation, this is how every word might be established. So the wisdom of God showing here that a problem might be better dealt with. Sometimes it does take a mediator to settle a matter between two brethren or between maybe even two groups of people. Consider also how Jesus mediates for us, brethren, how he also intercedes for us on behalf, you know, on our behalf unto the Father today in order to take away our transgression against God. Romans 8:34 and 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. That's Romans 8:34 and 1 John 2, 1 through 2. Now here's some things to remember. Here's some things to remember. Whether you are the one who was offended, someone else, or whether you're the one who was offended, don't wait around for the other person to come up to you. This is very important, brethren. This is how we might allow things to build up in our minds. Don't wait for that person to come to you. Don't wait around, you know, to go up to them, but rather take care of the issue whenever you can, immediately, as soon as possible, ASAP. Take care of that issue. Don't let it build up. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Talking about peacemakers, brethren, we are all peacemakers as Christians. We're not warmongers and war makers. We're the opposite. We're to make peace with our brethren. We're to make peace maybe even among our society in bringing the message of Christ. We're not war makers. We're not bringing the sword to people, to kill people, literally. We're not to hate people like that. Rather, we're trying to save people's souls. Jesus has not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. The same is likewise for us as Christians who bear his name. Brethren, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, be peacemakers. Be peacemakers. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. James chapter 3, verses 17 through 18 is another one that we can look at. James 3, 17 through 18 says there, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So, fruit of righteousness, how is it sown? How is it, of course, harvested? Of course, by sowing peace. How is that fruit of righteousness harvested? By sowing peace among the church. That righteousness is given. We should also not be strangers and foreigners to each other, just as we are not to God. So this is what we were talking about earlier, and not just being acquaintances with your brethren. If we have been sitting in the same congregation, in the same pews for, what, 10 years, 20 years, and we're still acting like acquaintances towards one another, what in the world are we doing? What are we doing? Why are we not going out to eat with one another every so often? Why are we not assembling together more every so often? Why are we just treating this like, you know, a 1 hour thing, and then we don't see them again for the rest of the week? They're left to their own things for the rest of the week. You know, they're just acquaintances. I see them, you know, once a week. No, brethren, we're family. We're family of God, the most important family on earth. We should treat it like it. I'm just as guilty as you are. We all need to treat the family of God like it is the most important family on earth. Shouldn't we? Brethren, I should have heard amen on that one. Shouldn't we? Amen. Don't be afraid to speak up on that one. Amen. We shouldn't be afraid to treat the family of God like the family of God. Most important family on earth. Everybody should say amen to that. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 through 22. Let's turn there. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. See it being fitted together. Verse 22, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. No longer strangers, no longer foreigners to God. Well, what does that mean? If we're no longer strangers and foreigners to God, should we be to each other? Of course not. If we're not strangers and foreigners to God Almighty, why are we to God's children? How does that make sense? You see what I'm saying? You see what the Bible's saying? We shouldn't be strangers to each other, brethren. We shouldn't sit in a congregation or in this building for 3 years or 1 year or whatever and not even still know each other hardly. That's sad. We should be unified. We should try to get to know each other, care about each other. All right, let's continue on here. We're almost out of time. Put down Acts 15, 36 through 41 as a reference. Acts 15, 36 through 41. Sometimes it's also best to just forgive one another. You might not agree on something, but just forgive. Forgive and forget. Don't bear that grudge. Don't keep on holding that grudge against somebody. But forgive and just let it be done. Now, that reference I just gave you was with Paul and Barnabas. Dispute over John Mark. Remember that problem? Well, they just kind of went their separate ways. They couldn't agree on something. They went their separate ways. They love each other, still as brethren, but they just had to go their separate ways. They just don't agree on it. It's a personal, opinion or something. They just went their separate ways. So, third step. Let's get into it. Matthew 18, verse 17. 18 and verse 17. This is the last thing. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. So, this is if step two doesn't work. Step one doesn't work. Then you go to step three. You tell it to the church. But, once again, if there's refusal from the offended to even hear the church, or maybe the offender, or whoever it is, then, well, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. So this is that third step to reunifying with a brother or sister in Christ, and what to do if reunification is made possible by, or impossible, by the offender. Remember, well, of course, 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. We can kind of go through this part pretty quick. This is really self-explanatory. But 1 John 1, 3 through 7, if you read that with me, it says there, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Or I'm reading the wrong passage. 1 John chapter 1, I said. 1 John 1, 3 through 7. That's what I meant. 1 John 1, 3 through 7. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have, or in the blood rather, of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. So if we all walk in the light, if we all follow the New Testament commandments and examples, if we all are Christians, we've all become Christians and follow Christianity to the T, or remain faithful as best we can, we are walking in the light. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin that we repent of. Brethren, we have fellowship. So we cannot treat each other like we're in darkness. We cannot treat each other like, I'm just going to leave. I'm not going to talk to him anymore. I'm never going to talk to him again. I'm going to bear this grudge till the day I die. Some people live like that. You think I'm kidding? Some people do that. And that is a very sad thing. And no doubt everyone in this room might be guilty of that very same thing at one point in time. We've got to be careful about bearing grudges, brethren. Offenses are a very serious matter. Forgiveness is a very serious trait for a Christian to have. We have to have forgiveness with one another. Consideration for one another. Very serious topic that we're going through. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. Maybe if we endlessly, if we talk about the person who is the offended, tells the matter to the church, but then maybe the offended is not ever wanting to forgive them. Maybe they go through all these three steps, but they still don't forgive the offender. Well, what do you do then? Well, it's on them. 1 John 3:15 says there, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We talk about hating a brother. If somebody's not willing to forgive their brother or sister in Christ whenever they're at their mercy, they're asking for forgiveness, do they perhaps might hate them? Well, they might, if they will not forgive them no matter what. Well, the same as sin, but they might also even hate them. The point where they might want them dead or something like that. So, incredibly sad, but nonetheless, it's a reality that happens in the church today. It's a hate involved, which is really to God murder in the heart from one Christian to another. Incredibly sad thing, but we can nonetheless be guilty of it, Christians. We have to be careful. Last passages that we are going to read together. Well, yeah, Titus chapter 3, if you turn there with me. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. Excuse me. Titus 3 and verse 3 says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. And hating one another. This is something that we once did, brethren. This is something that was former to us being a Christian. Something in our former lives. So why are we still hating one another? Why are we still hateful to one another? Why are we still bearing grudges? Brother, consider how we might have done this to another brother or sister in Christ in the past. How we might also do it in the future. Be careful of not doing it in the future. Make sure we don't do it in the future. Try to change that. If you're known for doing that, if you might have done that in the past, if you're still bearing a grudge, get that right with God. Get that changed. If you're still having a problem with a brother or sister in Christ, they've asked you for forgiveness, forgive it. Stop holding partiality. Stop holding grudges against them. Brethren, we've got to try to do better in unity together. Titus 3, 9 through 11. Titus 3, 9 through 11. Now, this is all a challenge to us. I'm not saying that any one of us are guilty of it. Some people will come up after church services and saying, preacher, you were talking to me that whole time. No, actually, I wasn't. I was just giving a general lesson. So, brethren, once again, this is a challenge to all of us. As all of the lessons that I preach are from the Bible, it's a challenge to every single one of us, myself included. Titus 3, 9 through 11. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject the advice of man, verse 10, after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Same kind of thing being said here that was said in Matthew 18. If nothing can be solved at all, maybe even, you know, in this context, we're talking about even in this whole thing here, well, such a person is warped and sinning. Rejected a vice in man after the first and second admonition. So different context, but nonetheless a similar type thing of offense here. And division, really. Somebody's causing division. All right, two last verses, or two last sections of text, and then I'll leave it with you as the lesson today. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 2. I'm sorry my mind is scrambled. I'm kind of worried about my wife at home being sick. Matthew 7, 1 through 2. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So, always be considerate and forgiving one another, remembering that God is the ultimate authority in all matters. You know, when we talk about judging one another, it's a whole other topic, really. But we can connect it to offenses. We can connect it to forgiveness. So before we start maybe getting offended by, you know, things, maybe even knowing better than to get offended by such a thing, you know, understand that sometimes, you know, God knows your heart all the time. Sometimes that might be measured back to you if you're judging maybe your brother or sister in Christ in such a matter. Other passages like James chapter 3 talks about receiving a stricter judgment, you know, based on what you judge people by. James 3, 1 through 2. All of these texts, brethren, are good to put in the, you know, in the clear space on the side of your Bible next to Matthew 18. All of these texts today that we're giving. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. All right, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So, talking about judgment, but we can also compare that to offenses. All of us make mistakes, brethren. We need to realize that. Don't take offense to literally everything somebody says. Not everybody's out to get you. You know, your brethren are not out to get you usually, you know, for the most part. Some of them might be, and that's on their, you know, that's their fault. That's their sin. But still, if an offense happens, we have our God-given instructed way on how to deal with it. And as we read in verses 18 through 20 there, we got to verse 20, where there are two or three gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them, what Jesus said. So brethren, we're agreeing in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So brethren, keep these things in mind when we talk about offenses, when we talk about forgiveness. And let's try to forgive one another better in the future. Let's challenge ourselves. The next time a brother or sister in Christ offends us, or maybe we are offended, or you know, maybe we might offend somebody else, be meek, be humble about it. Consider them. Consider all these things we've talked about. Don't hold grudges. Be the bigger person, perhaps. You are Christian, and you are supposed to exemplify Christ in your attitude. Remember this forever. The lesson is yours this morning, brethren. If you have any needs at all, prayers for yourself or for a family member, I always say, if you have maybe prayers for, you know, maybe a fallen away Christian or something like that, you can also accept the invitation this morning. You can ask for prayers on that. If there's anything going on this morning, you know, we have fallen away brethren. We need to pray for them as well. But if there's anything this morning, if anyone here is not a Christian, remember that you can only become a Christian by believing Jesus is the Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus is the Christ before men, and then being baptized, immersed into the water for remission of your sins and to be added to the kingdom of God. Only then can you remain faithful unto death and receive the crown of life, that kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. If you have any need this morning, come to the front as we stand and as we sing.